The text is the gospel reading from St. Mark. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed in the ground night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, although he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Here ends our text. We're at the beginning of the long church season of Pentecost, the season of growth in the faith. The pyramids are bright green, the color of new growth for that reason. The text and sermon are straightforward. We're not to become discouraged in our sowing. Our sowing of what? The word. Jesus speaks of sowing seeds. Later, in explaining it to the disciples, Jesus says, "The one who sows, sows the word." The word of God, law and gospel, sin exposed and grace revealed, is what we're to keep sowing. Not principles of psychology, not social justice, not parenting, not relationships, not marriage, not healthy lifestyles. These are the things many churches are sowing. Why? You know why. They work. People come to anything that they think makes them grow, feel better, or gets results, especially if they think it's spiritual, religious, or Christian. So churches have classes on biblical parenting, Christian marriage, so spiritual politics. The word is not enough. Law and gospel, they're not enough. People want more, better, different, and so churches give it. Jesus tells us, "Keep on sowing my word." Why? Because the word will always do its work. Don't get discouraged at scattering the word. Be like a man scattering seed. Ever done that? Did you have a plan? Did you measure how much seed you were putting out where? Did you section off the yard? No, you went out into the yard, grabbed the handful of seeds, scattered those seeds, took a step, grabbed another handful of seed, and scattered those. There wasn't much planning or organizing, just a lot of scattering. There was no talk of effective sowing, no talk of efficient sowing, no talk of enthusiastic sowing, just sowing. As it is in the realm of your yard, so it is in the kingdom of God. Ever sow seed and lay awake at night worrying if it's going to grow? You might have, because you know what science says about seed germination. However, when Jesus first spoke these words, none of the miraculous was taken out of gardening. Now, anyone with high school biology thinks they can explain how and why this seed sprouts and that seed does not. Not so Jesus' first hearers. It was all miracle to them. All by itself, the soil with the seed in it produces the stalk, the head, and the full kernel. They didn't know how, and they didn't think that they could influence the process. We see very little when we sow the word. We expose sin with the law, and nothing happens. We forgive sins with the gospel, and nothing happens. We show people what their sins deserve, suffering now with cancer, with disease, with stress, and death. Nothing happens. We show people that Jesus lived a life without sin, yet suffered what their sins deserve, and nothing happens. So we're tempted to sow not God's law, which makes people helpless, damned sinners. No, we're tempted to sow a doable law, people respond to a doable law. You can see them trying harder. You can see them doing their best. And we're tempted to sow not a gospel which forgives all sins freely for Jesus' sake, but a better lifestyle. People respond to that. They would rather have a fuller, richer life, marriage, family, and relationship that they can see than forgiveness and redemption than they can't see. And you can see fuller and richer. You cannot see forgiven and redeemed. But just because you can't see activity doesn't mean nothing is happening. That's the faith Jesus wants us to hold on to. That something is happening when we sow law and gospel. Otherwise, we're going to reach for another seed bag. Sow something besides God's condemning law and God's redeeming gospel. Or at least add something to them. As in the realm of gardening, so it is in the realm of God's kingdom. You reap what you sow. If you sow repentance and forgiveness of sins, that's what you're going to reap at the end of the age. If you sow psychologically well-adjusted people, well, you're going to reap that. If you sow good marriages, healthy families, and happy relationships, that's what you're going to reap at the end of the age. But these save absolutely no one. You can be a fully integrated person, as they call it, and you can still go to hell. You can have a great marriage. You can have a wonderful family. You can have TV-like relationships. And at the end of the age, still find yourself cut down and thrown into the fires of hell. Only God's law and His gospel raise a harvest to heaven. Though the word looks weak here and now, though it does not produce results that impress the world, Jesus tells us it really is doing way beyond what any of us think. Jesus compares the word to a mustard seed, not a coconut seed, not even a pecan, but a round seed the size of a pinhead. Like a mustard seed, the word grows from a seed that any bird could easily eat to a plant with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. You've all been here. You've all had a heart-to-heart conversation with someone in a real crisis. They're brokenhearted, they're dying, or they're at their wit's end. They face real, actual problems that you can see, you can touch, you can taste, you can smell. And all you have is a tiny mustard seed of God's law and God's gospel. All you have is the truth. That sinners cannot cry foul when hardship, disease, or death enter their lives. Sinners deserve to suffer and die, and the only wonder is that these don't happen much sooner. You can sow that truth, or you can sow the truth of Dr. Phil. God's given you lemons so you can make lemonade. What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. This really isn't about sin and death. It's just a cycle of life. And you can sow the comfort of God's gospel. Or you can sow the comfort of the world. You can point them to their good doctors. You can point them to the power of medicine. You can assure them that death is just the winner of life. There will be a spring. You can sow self-esteem. You can sow pride in overcoming problems. And you can sow confidence in what they can handle. Or you can talk about a God who became man and bore their sins. You can talk about Jesus defeating sin, death, and the devil. Even though they still have sins, they will die, and the devil roars. Plant the seed of God's word. It looks puny. It looks powerless. It doesn't appear to convict as effectively as the ranting Dr. Laura, or comfort as efficiently as the soothing Dr. Phil. But the seed of the word sown in sinful human hearts sprouts the kingdom of God there. And that kingdom is eternal. It will outlast their pain, their sickness, their problem, and even their death. Keep on sowing the word because it is doing its work and it is doing way beyond what any one of us thinks. But how do I sow it? The word is sown by parables. The The text says Jesus didn't say anything to those outside of the church without a parable. But to his disciples, he explained everything. But see, we don't follow Jesus' lead. We try to explain the parables, thinking that's going to grow the kingdom. No, the kingdom grows by sowing the word. And the word is sown by parables, by things that strike those outside of the church as mysterious, as foolish, or just plain simple. Sow the word by keeping its paradoxes. Whoever seeks to save his life is going to lose it. Whoever loses his life saves it. Jesus is our good shepherd who counts us as sheep to be slaughtered. We die daily, yet live abundantly. We're 100% sinful and 100% saved at one and the same time. Speak the paradoxes. Don't explain them. Sow the laws if there is no hope of being saved, and sow the gospel of forgiveness as if there is no way anyone at all could be damned. Sow the word in parables. Our divine service is a parable, a mystery, an enigma. We speak in language that people don't understand outside of the church. We have a pastor who says, I forgive you, not I assure you of forgiveness. We're forgiven, and then we sing, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, as if we're not even forgiven. The elder announces the gospel reading, and we sing, glory be to thee, O Christ. Because though it's the elder's lips that are moving, it's Christ Jesus who is speaking to us. Contemporary praise or blended service, they want to take the parable away. They seek to make the divine service user-friendly. They act as if Jesus ran after those who walked away from his parable, shaking their heads, not understanding. No, the kingdom sprouts from the word being sown in parables, because that's a miracle. It is not a matter of a person getting their head around forgiveness or accepting Jesus with their heart. It's a matter of the word of forgiveness creating faith despite their fallen head, despite their dirty heart. It's the miracle of the seed producing a green plant from black soil. The word is planted, scattered, sown here every Sunday. We throw it out indiscriminately. Through word, song, and sermon, everyone is told of the forgiveness of sins. We tell everyone the law that exposes their sin and sinfulness. We tell everyone the gospel of forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. We don't take away the paradoxes or explain away the mystery. We celebrate both. This is especially true in the great mysteries called sacraments. You do realize it is utter foolishness to point someone to water and say it rebirths a person into everlasting life. You do realize it is blasphemy to many for me to say, I forgive you all your sins. You do realize it is beyond anyone's reason to assert this bread is the real body of Christ. This wine is his actual blood. You see, only in a parable is a sheep a person, a king, God, the seed, the word, and a plant a Christian. Only in the parable of the sacrament is the water life-giving, the word forgiving, the bread body, and the wine blood. Only because our Lord Jesus has told us these things do we even know them. To those outside, baptism, absolution, and communion look at best mysterious and at worst silly. That's okay. Every time we baptize, every time we absolve, every time we celebrate communion, we're sowing the seed of God's word. Churches, governments, organizations, individuals, they sow many things today. They promise wonderful, fantastic things are going to come from the seeds they sow. Everything from world peace to happier, healthier, more spiritual lives. Christ says sowing his word of repentance and forgiveness sprouts and grows the kingdom of God on earth. May we keep on sowing it, looking in faith to that coming harvest that will be beyond our expectations. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.